Guys, if you've been using or wanting to try Viagra but are worried about the costs, we have great news. Now you can finally get real results at huge discounts with our Healthy Men alternative to the little blue pill. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get results for a fraction of the price? Call today and get 40 pills for only $99. Others cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want real results at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill for Viagra when you can get real results for less than $3 per pill. Call 800-558-0256 today and save over $500. You can have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Call right now and we'll rush you your supply delivered discreetly to your door. Just call 800-558-0256. That's 800-558-0256. Again, 800-558-0256.
It's not a team without t-shirts.
Custom t-shirts from Custom Ink are the easy way to connect any group. Our online design lab makes it simple to create a shirt design that your group will love. Or you can easily upload your own logo. Whether you need one shirt or thousands, Custom Ink can print any size order. And we know you can't wait for your new t-shirts. That's why we offer free shipping and on-time delivery is guaranteed. Get a free price quote today at CustomInk.com.
Welcome to the American Family Farmer, the weekly radio program for the small independent farm owners and those interested in how your food gets from the farm to your table. Here's your host, lifelong family farmer, Doug Steffen.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, a family farmer, broadcaster, dairyman, been around cows all my life. Every once in a while I get an email from someone, and by the way, you can send me any connection that you'd like, Doug at DougSteffen.com. Brings you into the fold. We have a dozen or so new stations this week, thanks to the Mississippi Farm Network putting this program on. We're heard all around the country in lots of different ways, frankly.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, Linda and I welcome Rhonda Ball and James Masada of Enjoy the Magazine, Enjoy the Store, perhaps even Enjoy the Empire. Find out what's going on in Northern California this month and those great articles they write on the people, places, and things to do. That and commentary on politics at the local, state, and national level. All this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline, your station's newest talk radio show. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. Every Sunday morning will be brought to you same time, same place. This will be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and it'll be done with no manipulation. We don't try to con you. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to solicit money from you. This show is simply about giving you accurate information. Not any human speculation, but accurate information that will help you verify and possibly identify the plan of God for your life. And if you would like to orient and adjust to that plan, you have the freedom, you have the privacy to do that. You're a free American. A lot of people have given their life to buy that freedom for you. And you have the opportunity to hear the truth. And as the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Word of God, you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is the second show here of The Flatline in your area. And if you happened to hear it last week, Let me just back up a little bit and give you some information. My name is indeed Rick Hughes. I am the founder of Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries, and I host this show that you're hearing today, and I host it across the United States in many various cities. The objective of this show is always to give accurate information. As I said, not human speculation, but accurate information. Information comes in two ways. It's divine viewpoint, or what does the Bible say, and human viewpoint, which would be what does someone else say. And I had to learn this the hard way. I did not become a Christian until I was 22 years old. I had played college football for a while. I had been to high school and done exceedingly well in high school. But after high school and after a short term in college football, I went down the my way highway, walked away from a free education, and in a frantic search for happiness, and simply because I was arrogant. You know, arrogant people don't listen. Arrogant people always justify why they're right and everyone else is wrong. Maybe you know someone like that, maybe in your own family, maybe you. That's exactly what I did when my coach tried to tell me I was making a mistake and I needed to stick it out. I wouldn't listen because I justified in my mind why I was right and why he was wrong. And as I went down the my way highway, I continued to lie to myself until eventually I came to the point of where I would even go to bed at night sometime, try to sleep, and it would be like there was a projector in my head, and he would show me all the stupid things I'd done. And I did not know how to make them go away. I wasn't happy with myself, that's for sure. And last week I told you how I dated a young girl, and this young lady took me to a Bible study. And it was in this Bible study that I was introduced to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I had no idea I would wind up in a ministry. That was never my desire. I had no idea of anything going to happen. But it did. I eventually went back to school, to a Bible college. Eventually got involved with an organization called Youth for Christ. And eventually founded my own organization called Teen Crusades. There I began to speak in high schools all across the country in the early 70s. And as things continued to change, the public schools all but shut down to Christian speakers. But even today, I continue to speak, and most of the time these are in private schools. Not necessarily Christian schools, but private schools, sometimes 150, sometimes 350. But different academies in different states where kids go to private schools. And God has given me a wonderful opportunity over the past few years to give the message of grace and hope and truth to thousands and thousands of students. As this radio show developed, unintentionally, I never intended to be on the radio. It started in Birmingham 7 years ago, and now here we are playing in your city. I am calling this show The Flotline, F-L-O-T. And a lot of people don't know what that stands for, so let me tell you. F-L-O-T stands for the Forward Line of Troops. This is a military analogy, forward line of troops, or the main line of resistance. Whenever the United States military deploys into a foreign battle arena, they must always establish a main line of resistance, or the flot line. And by me using a military analogy to explain how God's plan works for you, this is no different than Paul the Apostle using the Roman military analogy when he said, "Put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the strategy of the devil." He said, "Put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith." And it was a military analogy. Well, my pastor years and years ago taught me this concept of the flot line. And I'm sure he is happy to know that I'm continuing to share this concept with you. You can indeed establish inside of your soul a flot line, a main line of resistance that will stop the outside source of adversity before it ever becomes the inside source of stress. Adversity is inevitable. There's no doubt about that. Most of the time, it's self-induced. But stress is optional. We never have to worry. We never have to be afraid. We never have to be bitter. We never have to live with guilt. We never have to live with jealousy. These are all stress indicators. There is a better way to live, and quite simply, it's called the Christian life. It's the life that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, demonstrated while he was here on this planet. When he became a man, when he put away his deity for a moment and operated in his humanity. Yes, he was God and man in the same body forever, but he did not use his deity to sustain his humanity. In fact, he relied on the same thing you can rely on. He relied on God the Holy Spirit, and he relied on his Father's Word. And those two things are available to you as well. So as he lived, so you may live the Christian life. So the Flatline is about teaching you 10 unique problem-solving devices that are seen in the Word of God. These are not something new that I've discovered. These are age-old biblical doctrines that have always been there. When you learn these, and when you apply these into your life, see, there's a difference between learning and applying. When you apply them into your life, then you can stop the outside sources of adversity from overrunning the command post of your soul. What is the command post of your soul? That's your mentality. That's where you think. You see, God gave you a soul, and God gave you a body. And inside your soul, there's mentality. There's the ability to think and logic and reason and comprehend. And if God ever wants to check you out, he's not going to look at your body and see what you're wearing. He's not concerned with your image and your style. He's concerned with what you're thinking. He will look at your motives and the intentions of your heart. And so, as your mentality is the real you, that's what the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the real you is what you think. And as you grow in Christ, you can learn to think divine viewpoint. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that. In Romans 12:3, it says, stop thinking in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility. As God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his Word. And so divine viewpoint is nothing but thinking the Word of God under humility, using humility. See, the reason for this is an arrogant person can't learn anything. An arrogant person is not teachable. If you've ever been in school or a teacher, you know you cannot teach an arrogant person anything. But a person that has humility is a person who can learn. And if you have humility, you can learn divine viewpoint. You can deploy that in your life and use that so that you can stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. Yes, God gave you a soul, and it has mentality. It also has something else. It has the freedom to choose, or what we call volition. God gave you volition, the freedom to choose. And in your soul, you can choose for God, or you can choose against God. That's your choice. God did not make you into a little automaton. You're not a robot. You have a choice. God also gave you a conscience in your soul. The whole idea of a conscience is called protection. That's what your parents are supposed to do. When you're a child, they're supposed to program your conscience so that you don't violate the norms and the standards they teach you when you're young. They teach you hygiene. They teach you privacy, property, maybe, hopefully, patriotism. And as you learn these things and grow up in these things, these are the format for normality in your life. Without a conscience that's trained, you can do unspeakable things and get yourself in serious trouble. And so God gave you a conscience, and that's to be trained by your parents. That's to be protected by you, because you can sear your conscience. The Bible mentions that, how you can defile your conscience and sear your conscience. And this means that all the norms and standards you have learned from a child can be burned away and replaced with scar tissue in your soul. Scar tissue in your soul is a hardness of your heart, as taught in Ephesians chapter 4, to where you no longer feel guilt and you no longer feel shame. And many Christians can go here. I spoke with a young man just recently who was contemplating taking his own life. And he had been a Christian for a long time, but he was so ashamed of his actions and his decisions, and he was wrestling, was there any point to even continuing his life? That's what scar tissue does to you. It takes away your hope. It takes away your security and your comfort until you feel like you're in a black hole and no way out. And so you have a soul. Now, you also have a body. Some of us have big bodies, little bodies, skinny bodies, fat bodies, tall, short. Doesn't make any difference how God formed you. But inside your body, there's something called a sin nature. That sin nature, you and I, we got that thing from Adam. The Bible says, for by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And now death has passed upon all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we're born into this world, we are born physically alive, but at the same time, we die spiritually. The moment Adam's original sin is identified with us, we die spiritual death. We're born spiritually dead. That's why you hear Jesus saying in the Bible, you need to be born again. It's not a physical birth. It's not, as Nicodemus misunderstood in John chapter 3, of going back to his mother's womb again. It's a spiritual birth. It's God the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you and indwelling your human spirit and making you alive. You see, spiritual death is when your human spirit dies. At birth, you're identified with Adam's original sin, and you're spiritually dead. And when you're made spiritually alive, it's when you believe in Christ, receive Him as your Savior. This is critical because the Bible says, if we worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Without a human spirit, you can't have fellowship with God. That has to take place by the new birth, or being born again. So let's assume that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you have a body, and you have a soul, and you have a spirit. And now you have a war going on, because inside that body is that sin nature. And the Bible says, don't let sin control you. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That's clear in the Word of God. And so we have a battle. We have a battle where the sin nature wants to control the mentality of the soul. It wants to dominate the volition, or the decision-making process of the soul. And we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us that wants to combat that. And that's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, if you're listening to me today, you're going to find out that this show is all about learning something. It's not a short few moments of a nice little sweet devotional. This is an in-depth show. If you stick with me, you're going to see that I'm going to give you accurate information. Information that will cause you to act. You're going to have to act upon this information when you learn it. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 11, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, learn of me. You hear that word, learn? Also in the Bible, Peter wrote, study to show thyself approved unto God. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was what Peter wrote, 2 Peter 3:18. We learn, we study, we grow. That's what a Christian does. Until he's able to replicate the life of Christ. That's what our job is, to represent Christ to our generation. And you can't do it if you don't know what he thought. And you can't know what he thought until you learn about him. And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2. We have the mind of Christ. It's in us. And we can learn to live like he lived. We can think like he thought with divine viewpoint. We can make decisions like he made, depending on God the Holy Spirit. He didn't use his deities to sustain himself. He did use his deity to heal people and feed people, but never to sustain his own life. He depended on God the Holy Spirit, and you and I do as well. So here we have us. We are new Christians. We have God the Holy Spirit living in us. We're supposed to grow and become Christians to where we replicate the life of Christ. That's what growing means. We grow up. We grow up and replicate Christ. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why it's critical, so very critical, that as a Christian we have a well-qualified pastor that can teach us God's word. And I'm not a pastor. I am an evangelist. That is my job. My job functions outside the local church. But in your city, I am sure, I know for a fact, there are some well-qualified pastors who can teach you the word of God. But unless you go, you're not going to learn. In my church, we always kid about it. It's just a joke. But our joke is show up, shut up, and fake it till you make it. It's an old military term. Show up, shut up, and fake it till you make it. If you can't go to church and sit under the teaching of the Word of God, you're not ever going to grow. And you say, oh, I don't need church. I can just take my Bible and go out and sit under the palmetto bush and figure it all out. I'm sorry, but that's not the way God designed it. You see, God gave certain men the gift of pastor-teacher. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about it. If God had not intended for these men to be used, he would not have given them that gift. That pastor-teacher is your shepherd. He's the one that can shepherd your soul. And if you can learn under him and listen to him and apply the information that he's teaching you, then you will be growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about that. But it's critical that you get under a well-qualified pastor eventually. Now, as a Christian, there's a battle going on. I told you that. Sometimes you, to use a commercial that you've heard on TV, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do the right thing and sometimes you do the wrong thing, because we have a sin nature. Everyone that I'm speaking to today has a sin nature. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yes, we sin. And we don't all sin the same way. So let's look at this for a minute. Sin comes in three areas. It can be something you think, it can be something you say, or it can be something that you do. Usually you sin because you're lusting for something. You could be lusting for money, and thus you could lie on your taxes. You could be lusting for sex, and thus you cheat on your spouse. You could be lusting for attention, thus you say things to put other people down, slander, malign, criticize people. But lust is the motivator of sin. It's the indicator that the old sin nature is alive and well in you. And everybody doesn't lust for the same thing. I'm always reminded about the little girl in church who's 16, 17 years old and pregnant, and the older ladies sniping at her and saying, "Look at that. Could you believe? Why would they even let her come to church? They ought to just put her away." And yet those same little old ladies lust for attention from the pastor. They lust for the pastor to get up and say, "Thank you, Mrs. Whatever, for the wonderful flowers you put here today." See, you know why she did that? Because she likes that attention. She likes for her name to be mentioned. She's not lusting for sex. She's 80. But she's lusting for attention because she's lonely. Loneliness may be the root of both problems. And so people have lust patterns. Politicians lust for power. Thieves lust for money. Alcohol and drug addicts lust for alcohol and drugs. And it goes on down the line. Whatever your lust pattern is, when you decide to sin, that's the way you're going to go. You will follow your lust pattern. And Satan knows what it is. He's well aware of what your weaknesses are. And he knows how to tempt you. But thank goodness God the Holy Spirit knows how to deliver you. And that's why the Bible says if we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so the first key to understanding how the Christian life works is understanding how you cannot live it on your own. The Christian life is a supernatural life, and you're not going to live it on your own. By that I mean you don't have the power to execute the Christian life. It's supernatural, and it requires supernatural power. The supernatural power I'm speaking of is the power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, is a critic and thoughts of intents of the heart. When you learn the Word of God and you store it in your soul, and God the Holy Spirit has that as ammunition, then you have power. In Luke 11, Jesus our Lord was speaking, and a woman interrupted him. And she began to rant about the womb and the breast. And she said, "Blessed are the breasts that you nursed on, and blessed is the womb that you came from." She made an issue out of motherhood. And the interesting thing about that passage is the word blessed. It's actually the Greek word makarios, Greek being how the New Testament was written. And makarios is really the word happiness. And so the Lord Jesus Christ corrected her. And he said, "No, happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it." And the secret to being a mature believer, to growing, is to hear God's word and keep it. And both of those are volitional decisions. You must decide that you want to hear it, and you must decide that you want to keep it. No one can hear it for you, and no one can keep it for you. And if there's one thing that Satan will fight, he will fight you hearing the truth. He will distract you from hearing the truth. He will give you liars that will distort the truth. And you will never grow because you won't be able to live up to what they tell you. And so if you want to learn truth, truth comes from the Word of God. Not some ritual without reality. Not some religious institution that wants you to work and earn your way to heaven. Because the Bible says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and it's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone would boast about it." And so you have to learn the plan. You have to understand what it means to grow in grace and knowledge. Do you want to do that? If you do, you're listening to the person that's going to tell you how. No ranting and no raving. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to be on here every Sunday morning carefully explaining how those 10 unique problem-solving devices that make up the Flatline, how they work, how they're formed, how you use them. And if you will listen, if you will stay with me, you will grow and you will begin to see a difference in your life. If you ever need to contact me, you feel free to go to the internet and simply type in rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. The radio announcer will give you our address at the close of the show. But it is a great honor for me to be in your city. It's a great honor to be speaking to you over this radio station. And it is my prayer, my desire, that you will come back next Sunday, that you'll stick with me and you'll listen and you'll learn. And your life will have a tremendous impact for the Lord Jesus Christ in your family, in your community, and in your nation. As goes the spiritual life of you, so goes the history of this nation. Think about it and come back and join me next week. Until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to Your Chemical Sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to stay tuned. It will be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and it's all done without any manipulation. We don't have hidden agendas. We don't try to con you. We are not trying to coerce you into doing anything. The only thing the Flatline has for you is accurate information. Information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If you would like to orient and adjust to the plan, well, that's up to you. My job is to get it straight, to get it accurate, not to mislead you, not to play with your emotions, not to promise you something that no one else can provide. And you might know, as you turned on the radio station this morning, this is a new show. As a matter of fact, this is the third show in your area. And my prayer is that we will have many more shows to come. But thank you for listening this morning. I am your host, Rick Hughes. I told you earlier in the broadcast, maybe 2 weeks ago, a little bit about myself, but I'm from the state of Alabama. I live over near Birmingham, Alabama. I have been in the ministry going on 45 years, and having a radio show was never something that I intended to do, but it looks like it's worked out that way, and coming to your city has certainly been a blessing. We currently broadcast across the United States from California to New York. And so it's a great privilege to be with you today. The Flatline is all about learning how to use God's problem-solving devices. God's problem-solving devices. What I hope to teach you on this radio show is that there are some unique problem-solving devices that have been provided by God the Father, so that if you will learn them and use them, then you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. The way we say things here is that adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. Because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress is what you do to yourself. So if you learn these problem-solving devices, and if you use them, then you can live a life free of worry, a life free of bitterness, a life free of fear. That's simply called the Christian life. That's the way it operates. And so what we are using is a military analogy. We call our show the FLOT line, F-L-O-T. That's a military term used by my pastor years ago when he taught this to me. He's in heaven today, face to face with his Father, and we'll all join him as Christians, but he taught this to me years ago. FLOT, F-L-O-T, forward line of troops. Some people call it the main line of resistance. But whenever the United States military deploys into a foreign battle arena, they always set up a main line of resistance or a forward line of troops. And that forward line of troops in your soul are 10 unique problem-solving devices given by God in His Word. This is not something new I've discovered. These are age-old biblical doctrines that have always been there. Someone once said to me, "You didn't teach me something I did not already know, but you put it in a way I'd never heard it put before." Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put it in a way that it's that you can comprehend it, that it can make sense. Not speaking in cliches. You know, a cliche is someone would say, if you had a crisis in your life, someone may say to you, "Just turn it over to the Lord, brother." Well, I mean, that's fine, but what exactly does that mean? Or someone may say, "I'm praying about it, sister." Okay, you're praying about it. What does that mean? And so the mechanics of how you turn it over to the Lord are the mechanics of how you effectively pray. That's what this show is about. This show is about teaching you spiritual mechanics, teaching you how you can know for sure that you are doing a right thing in a right way. Remember this, there are 10 problem-solving devices. And if you learn them, and if you deploy them in your thinking, you are setting up a flat line. You are setting up a main line of resistance. And then when the outside sources of adversity begin to hit you, whether it's self-induced or whether it's induced by something else, it could be weather-related adversity. It could be financial-related adversity. It could be social adversity. Whenever it hits you, if you have this main line of resistance, these 10 problem-solving devices, then you will never have to worry. You will never have to be afraid. You will never have to be bitter. You will never have to have guilt. That is not the way God intended for you to live. God has a unique life. It's called the Christian life. And living that life is an unbelievable experience. But, you know, you can't live it if you're not a Christian. I did not become a Christian until I was 22 years old. I was never against God. I just never knew God. I didn't go to church, and no one in my family, immediate family, went to church. And so I was never exposed to God until I was 11, and I was sent off to a camp to try to straighten me out. I grew up in a single-parent home where my mom raised me and my father was not there, so this camp, they thought, might help me. And I spent the summer in an abandoned town down in Mississippi. And I heard about God, yes, but I did not get enough information to actually come to know Him as my personal Savior. So it was 11 years later, 22 years old, that someone told me how I could have a personal relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. And I made a decision that night to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive Him as my Savior. Nothing weird happened. I didn't feel funny. I didn't have an ecstatic experience. My feet didn't float up off the ground. My eyes didn't cross. I didn't hear tambourines. And I didn't see angels. But I did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I went back and I told my roommate that I was rooming with what had happened, he kind of gave me the evil eye, and he said, "You did what?" And I said, "I became a Christian." And that was the end of that friendship. He decided a week or two later to move on, and I decided to go back to college. And that was the beginning of my life in Christ. You know, the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. What if I told you today that you could start your life all over again? That everything in the past could be wiped away, and you could begin new today? That's what appealed to me. I had made so many bad decisions. I had gone down the my way highway so many times that my life was one road of confusion. Sometimes I would lay in my bed at night and a spotlight in my mind would go around and show me all the dumb things I'd done. I had walked away from a college scholarship playing football. I had done a lot of crazy things. But in Christ, all of that was changed. The night that I believed in Jesus Christ was the night that I slept restful and peaceful. Finally, I had peace with God, and I knew that God had forgiven me for all of my mistakes. I don't know if you've ever felt that before, but the Bible says it can be yours. The Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It goes on to say, these things are written so that you might know that you have eternal life in 1 John 5. And so, yes, you can know it. You can receive Christ as your Savior, just as I did. And you can have eternal life. But even more, you can have a life on this earth, on this planet, the Christian life, that is beyond comprehension in the eyes of the world. They can't understand it. They cannot understand the love that is associated with it. They cannot understand the forgiveness that is associated with it. And above all, they certainly don't understand the power that is associated with it. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Teach you, show you, describe to you how this life works. I want to introduce a term to you today, and hopefully you'll find it comprehensible. It's called protocol. Protocol. Protocol simply means a right thing has to be done in a right way. I remember as a young high school recruit going to some dinners with colleges where they would throw these dinners at these fancy places, and I didn't know which side of the plate my fork was on. I didn't know which water was mine. There were a lot of things I didn't understand about the protocol of fine dining. And to be honest, I still don't understand some of it today. But protocol means that a right thing has to be done in a right way, or it's wrong. When you're dealing with God, there is protocol. A right thing must be done in a right way. I'll try to explain it. Do you think it's ever wrong to pray? And the answer should be no. We should always pray. But the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's a Bible verse. So it's possible that you're praying and your prayers are not being answered, not even heard. They're not even going above the ceiling because you're doing a right thing, prayer, but you're doing it in the wrong way, energy of the flesh. Not under the power and the influence of God, the Holy Spirit. And so prayer demands protocol. The Bible says we pray to the Father in the name of the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the protocol of prayer. When someone starts breaking protocol, then you can pretty well bank that that prayer is not going to be answered. And so I want to start here by explaining how this supernatural life works. It is, in fact, a supernatural life. The Christian life is a supernatural life. Remember that. The Christian life is a supernatural life. And to live it requires a supernatural power. You cannot live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. There must be a supernatural power. That supernatural power comes in the form of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the first one. And the second one is God's Word. where the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the power of the Word of God. In John 14:26, the Lord Jesus Christ made an amazing statement. He said, "The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." And so the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. If you go to the New Testament and remember this now, please, sometimes I will do this with you. The New Testament was written in Greek, G-R-E-E-K, in the Koine, K-O-I-N-E, in the Koine dialect. And so as you study the Bible, it helps if you're able to go back into the Greek and look at these words and understand what they meant when they were written and if they've lost their meaning in transliteration today. The Comforter is the Paraclete in the Greek New Testament, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S, the Paraclete, and that is the name for the Holy Spirit. He is a divine person, and he was promised by Jesus Christ our Lord to be sent to believers. And so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, as of the day of Pentecost, back in the formation of the New Testament, you now are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He is your coach. He is your mentor. He is the one who empowers you to live the Christian life. You cannot live it on your own. You don't have the power to sustain yourself on your own. You can't pray effectively without the Holy Spirit's ministry. Romans tells us the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. So the Holy Spirit, John 15:26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who will proceed from the Father, he will testify of me." This is the Lord Jesus Christ giving proof, giving identity, that that Holy Spirit is going to come, and that Holy Spirit is going to testify of Jesus Christ. He's going to, in other words, if you study the life of Christ, it is the Holy Spirit that will verify what you study. It's the Holy Spirit that will bring to remembrance what you study. And it's the Holy Spirit that will help you apply that information into your life. I'm going to a verse now in John chapter 16. Here's what our Lord said. John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is expedient." That means it's to our advantage. "It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Paraclete," or the Comforter, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, without getting into explaining what all of that means, simply let me say this. The Holy Spirit was sent by God the Son. He indwells you. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, he comes to live inside of you. And he is not going to leave you. He's not going to bail out on you. He's not going to say, "Okay, that's it. I've had enough of you. You're an idiot. I can't stand living inside of you anymore." The Holy Spirit is one part of our divine God, who has three parts: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, he will empower you. Listen to John 4:24. "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." There it is. You cannot worship God. You cannot effectively live the Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is the divine executive of God's plan. It's His responsibility to make sure that we get it right and that we do it right. And so when He comes to indwell us, the Bible says that we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's real clear. Listen to this. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you're all called, and one hope of your calling. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, we are placed into Christ, into union with Christ, and we are permanently in the Lord. It's a union that reflects my position, your position, and it guarantees our eternal future. So the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. Ephesians 1:13 says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So remember that. And remember Romans 8 says, because the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the Holy Spirit. In your prayer life, the Holy Spirit is the one who effectively intercedes for you. He effectively takes your prayer and delivers it to the Father. And so you must understand, we are employed to live under the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are given the mandate to live under the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person who indwells us, and the Holy Spirit is the one who can control us. Listen to Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So let's break it down for you. Inside of you, there are two people. Sometimes I feel like a nut, and sometimes I don't. Remember that? Inside of you, there's a genetically formed old sin nature. And you got that thing from Adam. It came from Adam. For by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And you have it. You have a sin nature. In case you think you don't, let me ask you a question. Who sat you down and taught you how to lie? Who sat you down and taught you how to be jealous? Who sat you down and taught you how to be envious? See, these are things of the flesh. But you also, if you're a Christian, you have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you. And so the Bible says this sets up a war. And the Bible says the flesh wars against the Spirit. The Spirit wars against the flesh, and they are contrary one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we should. And so we are given mandates in the Bible. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, don't grieve the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, don't grieve the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. So do not quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and then do not grieve the Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. What this is telling us is that it's possible for you to shut off the power flow. If you have a hose pipe and you're watering your garden, and you take that hose pipe and you crimp it, you shut off the power. The water won't come out. Sin shuts off the power flow. When we sin, we shut off the flow. And sin can come in three areas: what we think, what we say, or what we do. So as a Christian, I will sin, and you do too. When we sin, God the Holy Spirit is quenched. God the Holy Spirit is grieved, and He is not controlling our life. And even though we go to church, even though we may attend Sunday school or give money, if it's not under the power and the influence of God the Holy Spirit, then it's simply doing what any unbeliever can do. The unbeliever cannot live the Christian life, only you, because you have the power and the influence of God the Holy Spirit. And so you are said to be carnal. When sin enters your life, the Bible says you're carnal. When the Holy Spirit controls your life, the Bible says you're spiritual. And so to effectively live the Christian life, you must stay spiritual. You must walk in the Spirit. Therefore, the psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not sin against thee. It starts with understanding God's word and learning it and applying it. If I don't want to sin, then I need to learn what sin is. Sin can be something I think, like worry. Sin can be something I think, like fear. Sin can be something I think, like jealousy. Those are mental attitude sins. Or sin can be something I say, like gossip. Sin can be something I say, like criticism and maligning. See, it can be a sin of the tongue. A lie can be a sin of the tongue. And then sin can be something you do, such as stealing, such as adultery or fornication, etc.